Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
You may not immediately recognize this as being directly associated with the Lord's Supper or Holy Communion, but it is, because the Lord's Supper is a proclamation of the Lord's death until He come. And it is an actual saying so. It is a public announcement of something that has happened in the life of the believer that we are absolutely going to proclaim in a public setting. Communion is something that not everyone should partake of. If you're not a Christian, Communion shouldn't be partaken of. But if you've come to Christ, even if you're struggling with some issues in your life, you should never stay away from the Lord's Supper. I know there's a scripture, a dire warning about Holy Communion. It's saying that he that partakes of this service unworthily is guilty of the blood and body of Jesus. It can become more of a curse than a blessing. And some people, because of recognizing imperfections or struggles they have in their own life as Christians, feel, I can't take communion this Sunday because I have ought. Well, you know, get it out. That's your chance to get it out before the cup comes to you. There's no need holding something in your heart that God can cleanse and help you with. A man should examine himself. And this is a time of self-examination. Listen, not self-condemnation. Amen. There's one who wants you condemned. His name is Satan, the accuser of the brethren. Amen. Jesus did not come to condemn the world. He's not here to condemn sin, but to deal with it. Amen. In a way that God can accept you and you can go to heaven. Praise God. That was his mission to this earth. Still his mission. Unworthily doesn't mean that you have to become worthy of this cup, which represents the blood of Jesus, and this wafer, which represents his body. No one in this room will ever be so sinless and so holy that you are worthy of one drop of that blood. It means to give the due reverence. If you frame it in the context, they were partying down. They were bringing box lunches and bottles of wine, and they were just becoming gluttons and lushes at a service that is supposed to represent a holy event. It is not for the flesh. It is for your spirit. That's why we don't drink a goblet of wine and we don't eat a loaf of bread. These are tokens to remind us of his body and his blood. And deep reverence, along with great joy, is to be given to this ceremony. And unworthily means that we don't give the due reverence. We should stand in awe of our God and his holiness, and that we, through the blood of Jesus, can come into his presence and have his good pleasure and live in his heaven. Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Amen. There's not a sinlessly perfect person on this planet according to Scripture. The Bible said there's none righteous. Comparing it to God's righteousness, his standard, there's none. No, not one. Christ is the only sinless man. And that's why his blood and his blood only could be offered as an acceptable sacrifice. Sin had never touched him nor tainted him in any way. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. But he knows the pull of it all, and he understands our frame. And I give reverence to this holy ceremony. It's a time to search ourselves, not to condemn ourselves, but to be convicted if necessary and say, Lord, I haven't got rid of this unforgiveness. I've been carrying it, but this morning I'm going to deal with it. I've been carrying this sin. I know that I committed this. I know I was wrong. I'm sorry, Lord. Forgive me. This is a wonderful opportunity for God's cleansing to touch our life. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sin and to go beyond the forgiveness of it, but to cleanse us from unrighteousness. Can you say amen? There's a cleansing work that goes on inside. And so all that takes place in this service. I love to do it. As often as we do it, we remember his death till he come. But it's a proclamation publicly. Anyone can view this. Anyone that came into our midst this morning can see us receiving Holy Communion. And in that receiving of the blood and body of Jesus in token, we are proclaiming his death till he come. That's why Psalm 107 relates to this, because it said, let a unique group of people proclaim something publicly. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Redeemed is a powerful word in the Old and New Testament. It literally means, amen, to buy back by paying a ransom. Amen. We are the blood-bought children of God today. We have been redeemed. We used to sing it in my early Christian experience in our church, that old hymn, I'm redeemed by love divine. Oh, glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to Him I now resign. I have been redeemed. Amen. My heart would swell with love for the Lord every time we sung that old anthem, because I knew that a price had been paid for my sin debt, and it had been paid in full at the cross. I never felt worthy of that blood, but thank God I have learned to feel worthy through that blood, to come into God's presence and enjoy His presence and not feel condemned all the time because I'm imperfect. Look at somebody and say, maybe you're not perfect either. Amen. Just maybe. Amen. I love a sign about a church in Lakeland. You know what it says on the billboard for that church? By the way, no one got a rise out of anybody. It went over well. No one bristled at that this morning. We don't have to have the altar call, then the communion. Praise God. Amen. But it said, the perfect church in big bold letters, and that immediately causes people to bristle. But underneath it said, the perfect church for people who are not. Amen. Christians are not perfect. They are just forgiven. That is not a license to sin or live in compromise. But it means when you look at a Christian, you're not looking at a finished work, but a work in progress. Amen. Paul said, when Paul wrote 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament are accredited to the Apostle Paul. That's half the New Testament if you just look at the number of books in the New Testament. Half of them accredited to the Apostle Paul. He went through persecution and kept perfect faith. He called all that he went through. He said these light afflictions, which are but for a moment, work for us a greater eternal weight in glory. What he called light afflictions would blow most of us away. Amen. But the only way he endured it was because of not just his great faith, but the great grace that God extended unto him. He said, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul, and my strength is perfected in weakness. So when you see God, Paul's great victories and his just stickability, don't attribute it that he was greater in faith. No, God granted him great grace. And by the way, that great grace is something God grants to every one of his children, not just to the great Apostle Paul. He said, I was beaten with rods on three occasions. I was given 100 and I was given five times. I was given 39 stripes of the Jews on five different occasions. If you would strip him to his waist, his back would look like a road map with the scar tissue from being beaten like that. Amen. Three times with rods he was beaten. Amen. And then he said he was stoned and left for dead. And yet he went on rejoicing. He was imprisoned. He was among false brethren. He said, I was in the deep for a day and a night. I was shipwrecked and had to wait 24 hours for deliverance from that. Amen. It seemed everywhere he turned there was great persecution and great trouble. And he said, shall any of these things separate me from the love of God? I'm convinced that nothing shall separate me from the love of Christ, God that's in Christ Jesus. And then he called all of this light afflictions, which are but for a moment. What a guy. Hallelujah. But great grace was given unto him. And this man said, not that I have attained, but that I might attain. Not that I have apprehended, but that I might apprehend. That Christ apprehended me to apprehend. Literally, that I might take a hold of and grasp in my heart and my life the things that Jesus has grasped me, amen, for. Amen? That God has called me to, let me somehow attain to that. But he said, forgetting the things that are behind, and this is after he's accomplished all these things, he said, and pressing toward the things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. Amen? So he never arrived in his whole life. Amen. He's just like us. He was on a journey. And in the process of that journey, he was a work in progress. And folks, I'm telling you, I've been your pastor, some of you, for two decades. The three-decade people, or most of them, are with the Lord. I mean, he's been with us 30 years. One, two, three. That's not with the Lord yet. look at each other and say, congratulations. I guess. I mean, it's better to be with the Lord, but, you know, he's letting you live a long, full life. Hallelujah. I myself have heard my preaching for that long. Amen. God has been good to us. Amen. But I was some people's pastor for 30 years, and I've watched people grow. Your work's in progress. I mean, you should have seen you. I'm not just talking about your hairdo in the 70s. Amen. We got a picture with your 70s hair. Amen. Don't ever mess with me. I'll post it. We'll have a bulletin, a retro bulletin some morning. We don't even have bulletins. We just tell it all from the pulpit. But, folks, if we ever get bulletins again, that would be something to put on the face of a bulletin. Amen. Because we got the picture. We got the hair. We got the beehives. We got it all. Amen. But, you know, it's not just the changes that have come. Actually, I think y'all look much better today. But you don't just look better on the outside. Amen. Age has been good to you. And your hairdos look nicer, honestly. Amen. What were we thinking? What were we thinking? But anyway, and I got rid of the Elvis thing, trimmed my sideburns. I just let them grow together. That's all I did. Praise God. I'm still a... But God, you know, the changes I've seen come on the inside and spiritually and working its way outside. I love what Dale told me one time some years ago. She said the things that used to put us on our back now put us on our face. In other words, we've learned to go to God when overwhelming things come. That's spiritual growth when Christians learn how to lean on the Lord and to trust in the Lord. And I feel like I'm doing a good job when Christians are learning to trust Him. Can you say amen? When people are depending too heavily on me, then something is missing. Amen. But when people are learning how to look to the Lord, then I feel like I'm accomplishing what the Lord sent me to do. Amen. Because the Apostle Paul, who knew how to look to the Lord, said, follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's what I want to teach people to do. He's been good and faithful to me. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We're not just to remember Christ's atoning death on the cross. We're proclaiming that through the shedding of His blood on the cross that every enemy is defeated. One of the things that is so outstanding at the cross is that every foe of fallen man is defeated when we come to know Christ as our Savior. You still have enemies, but they are enemies stripped of their authority, their influence, and their ability to hurt or harm you any longer. Can you say amen? There's a scripture in the Old Testament that alludes to that standing with the Lord of such righteousness, amen, that can only be truly obtained and sustained through the blood of Jesus Christ. And it says, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And the reason it's sustained, amen, not just something that can fall off, some piece of your armor, some chink in the armor. It says, the part of the same verse, it continues to say, and their righteousness is of me, saith God. If it was their own, there's a chink in the armor because you can stumble and fall. And if it opens the door every time you stumble for the enemy, then you can be easily defeated because you can't stand perfectly all the time. But if you have a God-granted, God-imputed righteousness, there's no chink in the armor. And in spiritual warfare, there's a breastplate that covers your heart and keeps it from condemnation and despair and discouragement. What is that breastplate called? The breastplate of righteousness in Ephesians 6. It is protect the heart. Amen. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. How do you really keep your heart? You keep it with a breastplate of righteousness covering it. Hallelujah. Amen. We declare the defeat of the devil and the victory of the Lord every time we celebrate Holy Communion. Amen. The redeemed of the Lord are the ones that need to speak up and declare, amen, that we are redeemed. Amen. That we have been ransomed. That the blood of Jesus has done the work and it is accomplished. Your work in progress as God spiritually perfects you and matures you. But the work to save you is a done deal. You couldn't add anything to it if you won 1,000 souls this morning before coming to church. And if you gave your life, amen, tonight, amen, for the sake of the gospel, you couldn't add to what He has done on the cross for you. Can you say amen? Isn't that incredible? Couldn't add it. It's a grace gift. He gave himself. Amen. And he loved you like that while you were yet in your sins. How much more? Amen. Or not really more. He can't love you anymore. Amen. But how much more do you think that he accepts you and embraces you now that you become his child? Even though you struggle with things. He wants you to know that he's in your corner. The worst thing is to try to conceal anything that's wrong about our lives. We're good at concealing things. God said, I don't want you to conceal. I want you to confess. If we say we have no sin, we try to conceal it. Even as Christians, we lie and do not the truth. But if we confess our sin, he's what? Faithful and just to forgive it and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That doesn't mean we're bound by it. Amen. That doesn't mean we're always going to be enslaved by it. But it means we're always going to be human. We're always going to have to deal with weak flesh. We're always going to make mistakes, even though we have a bent now toward righteousness. Amen. That's why sin isn't fun if you're a true Christian. Amen. You might go out and do it and it feel good for a little while, but it's not going to feel good for long if you're really a Christian. Because God has awakened your conscience. Amen. You're not dead in conscience and consciousness of God like you used to be in trespasses and sins. You who were dead in trespasses and sins, he's quickened. When he gave you life, he made you alive to him, and he quickened your conscience. So you feel it. Thank God you feel it. Amen. It's an uncomfortable feeling. Thank God it proves you're saved. Hallelujah. Saved people feel it. Sometimes I just get wrong in attitude. Sometimes I'm able to conquer my tongue and not say what I want to say. But then I'm convicted over wanting to say it in the first place. And I say, Lord, help me with my attitude. And then I have very generous people where I work, and they'll tell me, they say, Rev, you're only human. I said, yes, I know I'm human, but I'm also a Christian. And I really want to follow Jesus. And I want you to forgive me. Because I almost lost it. And I don't want to lose it if I can help it. And I can help it if I trust him and look to him. He's been so good to me. But if I miss it, I ask forgiveness of people. I ask forgiveness of God. And I find more credibility by being real and admitting when I'm wrong than trying to act like I'm never wrong. Because I've met people like that. And boy, anyway, and that almost makes me wrong. Genuine Christians have a bent toward righteousness. We want to live for Christ, but we know at our best effort, there's nothing we could do to save ourselves except for the blood of Jesus. So in Holy Communion, in verse 26 of 1 Corinthians, it said, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. That word show, S-H-E-W, kind of goes back to the showbread in the temple. We could do some studies on that showbread sometime. But this is showing the Lord's death. And it literally means a public announcement. We're publicly announcing something. Amen. Did you know if you don't confess Christ publicly, he will not confess you to the Father privately and before his angels? Amen. Did you realize that? Did you know with the heart? Amen. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father, which is in heaven. So, amen. But he said, if you will confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father and his angels. So, this saying so of the redeemed is an important issue. There are people taking that out of the context of redemption and the ransom saying so, and just put it in kind of saying what you want, letting your words create wealth and all of these things. And if God makes you wealthy, and listen, I'm all for God making you wealthy and making you tithe it too. Hallelujah. Amen. I do not play lotto. Because I trust in the Lord, not random chance. Got a better chance of getting struck by lightning than winning. But if anyone in here stumbles and wins, we're not going to turn down the tide. I don't know, church in town that would turn down your tithe. If you won $50 million, I think someone would take your what would be the tithe on $50 million? Anybody know? Quick, $5 million? $5 million? $500,000, not $5 million? Oh, man. Well, anyway, $500,000 go a long way on our building fund. $5 million. $5 million. We got a math teacher right here. Boy, we're going to make you our accountant, too. Hey, man, when the tithes get that big, we want somebody. Anyway, yeah, that is right. 10%. $5 million. That's correct. That would be excellent. Praise God. Pastor told me to play the lotto so we can build a church. No, pastor didn't tell you that at all. I have people come to me at work all the time, and they, you know, either before the drawings, you know, on Saturday and Tuesday, they come to me. And they'll come up and they'll say, Rev, if the Lord should bless me to win the lotto, I'm going to build a church for you. And I say, I'm going to hold you to it too. But I got a whole bunch of people thinking it'll give them an edge. You know, so, I mean, it happens always on Tuesday and always on Saturday. Rev, can I talk to you for a minute? Sure. You know, if the Lord helps me win lotto, I'm gonna help you on that church. Okay. God bless your heart. Thank you. I know where you live. I always tell them. And if they do, I don't believe it's because the Lord will bless them to do it. But I'll tell you one thing. If somebody happens to do it, I'm going to show up. I'm going to show up and say, you remember what you promised. Amen. We're going to hold you to that. God has been good. We've got such giving people here. How many people, if you had $100,000, amen, you'd tithe it to the Lord today? Give $10,000 to building fund. If you had it sitting there to give, see? Now, Lord, just bless all these people with $100,000, and we'll build the church. Hallelujah. I believe that's how it ought to be done, through generous hearts and the Lord blessing. Praise God. What a joy there is in that. We are the redeemed. The Amplified said, you are representing, signifying, and proclaiming the Lord's death till He come. We're the redeemed. We're the ransomed ones. We're the blood-bought children of God. We ought to say so. Can you say amen? Yeah. Just because confession has been misused and abused doesn't mean you cancel it out. It's vital. If you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. So, you know, be quick to let it be known that you're a Christian. Don't hold it back to try to blend in. Just go ahead and come out with it and say, I'm a Christian. Go ahead and take the heat. Yeah. Amen. You say, well, Brother Rumble, then everybody's going to be looking at me. Well, that's going to cause you to pray more. Study the Word more. To ask God for help more. To walk this thing out. Let me tell you about the people looking at you. They're not looking for perfection. They are looking for sincerity and truth and genuineness and authenticity. Can you say amen? Somebody that never stumbles is not a Christian according to this Bible. Someone who stumbles and confesses their faults publicly and to the Lord, that's someone that God can use as an example. Hallelujah. We have a God-given victory that no enemy can contest. Satan would like to contest your standing with God, but he can't. Because it's not your armor, not your righteousness you use as a breastplate. It's His armor. Put on the whole armor of whom? Of God. So the breastplate of righteousness is His righteousness applied to your life. It's called imputed righteousness. It's nothing you earn or merit or deserve. It's a standing with God granted because judicially Jesus has taken your sin on the cross and you have been pronounced not guilty, amen, by the highest court in heaven. And I know people in this room right now that would like to think that you can get holy enough to earn some credits with God. And let me tell you something. You should live holy, amen. You should do it in deep reverence, but you can't earn this gift in anything you do or anything you say. Amen. You cannot do that. I cannot do that. I'm glad God set it up that way. He said, lest any man would boast, He set it up that way. No one is going to go to heaven and feel like they deserve to be there. Especially when we get into that full-blown presence of God and we see this holy place and these holy persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're going to have a deep sense of how unworthy we are to stand on a street that is so pure, the gold is transparent. Can you say amen? But bless God, we're going to be there because of the blood of Jesus. Can you say amen? That's why we're going to rejoice. And it's never going to get old as long as eternity lasts, and that's forever. There'll never be a time that we cease to rejoice in the standing that God gave us because of the blood of Jesus. We're going to wake up every morning in heaven and say, I can't believe that I'm in this place. Then we're going to go look over and see some people we knew on earth saying, I can't believe you're here either. But we're going to be there, hallelujah, because our righteousness is of Him. If it was of ourselves, the devil could pick it apart. But the reason he can't pick it apart, it's not our righteousness, it's His righteousness granted to us through the blood of Jesus. He can tear us up, but he can't touch Jesus. Woo! Somebody say, look at somebody say, He could tear you up. Look at him and tell him, He could tear you up. But he can't touch Jesus. Woo! Somebody give him glory this morning. Hallelujah! Woo! Hallelujah! Put on the breastplate. Put on the breastplate and be bold in battle, saith God. Trust me to forgive your sin. Trust me to cleanse you from unrighteousness. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me to stand with you in the day of battle, yea, in the day of trouble. Trust in me, saith God, because you have a place in me where you are accepted and that you are accepted, saith God. And I say again unto thee, trust me, for you have a place in me where you are highly honored and accepted in the beloved, saith the Spirit of God. So much in me, it's hard to get it all out. God is so gracious and good today. Amen. You sense His presence in this place. This is what always overwhelms me. I feel like at some point in the service, I always feel like I'm in a great camp meeting somewhere in a huge auditorium with thousands of people hearing the gospel. There's such an anointing of the Spirit of God on the message of the cross. Every time I preach it, it is fresh. Every time I preach it, there's something quickened to my own heart. Can you say amen? You have an enemy that wants to oppress you, but you have a God in your corner. You have a tempter that will never give up, but you have a God that said He would never leave you nor forsake you. He'd go with you, and that means through your tests, trials, and temptations. We have a God-given victory that no enemy can contest, and we need to say so. The blood of Jesus speaks, according to the Scripture, of better things than the blood of bulls and goats and the blood of animals, and we have a better covenant. The blood of Christ speaks, and so should we. Amen? The three great enemies, and I'm going to cover them very quickly, that have been conquered in our behalf at the cross. And we need to declare them defeated. The redeemed need to say so. Number one is sin. Sin is the great enemy of man. It's the enemy of Adam and Eve in the garden. The wages of sin is death, which is another one of the great enemies. But sin opened the door for it. Before sin entered the world, death couldn't come. Can you say amen? Sin was the wedge that opened the door for spiritual death that brought physical death. Doctors really don't know why you age and die. They know you do, but they don't know why you do. They can't really find a reason for it because your body has something in it that recreates cells. Thousands of them are killed when you pick up something and grip it, but they regenerate. You ever seen a chameleon? You grab him by the tail, it comes off. You ever seen a glass snake, which is a lizard? I didn't know. It looks like a snake. You grab him by the tail, tail will come off. Grab him up a little higher, that'll come off. I was trying to help one because we finally said, this isn't a snake, it's a lizard. So he's not going to hurt anything being around here, and he probably serves some good. And I wanted to help him. I wanted to get him. One time I threw him over the fence, and he's just a little piece of his tail come off. I tried to get him, help him out of an area, and I grabbed him, tail come off. I grabbed him, more of him come off. I grabbed him, and more of him come off. Three pieces of him come off. And I thought, dear Lord, that's got to hurt. Can you say amen? And then I looked, and he wiggled off. He wiggled off and went his way. And the next time I saw him, it all grew back. He had the ability to break off to get away from his enemy, and it all regenerated. And there's something in the human body that regenerates, and they don't know why we're aging. Amen. May I submit something to you that in the garden, spiritually, something happened that's affecting a body that was never meant to die, but just to constantly regenerate. Sin had consequences. Spiritual death. Adam didn't drop dead. It's the devil's great lie. You won't surely die. Oh, yeah, he did surely die physically. But that spiritual death opened the door for physical death. Can you say amen? Now, physical death is one of those enemies that, but it isn't conquered yet in terms of the fact that believers are going to die physically. The last enemy, the scripture said, the last enemy to fall is already defeated. But he's going to fall, amen, when Jesus comes and the dead rise up and we which are living are quickened. But that enemy, the last enemy is death, physical death. Amen. Even as a Christian, physical death will touch us if Christ tarries. But spiritual death has already been defeated. Can you say amen? You hath he quickened who were dead. Hallelujah. Praise God. In trespass and sin, you hath he given life. And he said something about you now. Though the body perish, the inward man is regenerated. Like the glass snake is renewed day by day by day by day by day. And the death of the body won't stop that renewing process. Can you say amen? Absent from the body is not to go into the ground, but it's to be present with the Lord. And present with the Lord eternally until the body is raised without that sin taint on it. Incorruptible, praise God, and immortal. Why are we going to have a resurrection? Because God is going to have such an absolute victory that He's going to bring this body, the one that you're in right now, amen, from the grave, if you go to the grave before He comes. And He's going to cause your spirit and soul to be reunited with this glorified body. Hallelujah. And somebody said, will I know you when I get to heaven? Will we know one another? Listen, if we fly to Houston, will we know one another when we get there? You're going to see this preacher when I get to heaven and you get to heaven. I'm going to know you, Dale. You're not going to be some, you know, cosmic protoplasm floating around. You're going to be Dale. We'll know as we're known. You're going to know your mama. You're going to know your daddy if he's with the Lord. You're going to know your friends and loved ones. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, heaven wouldn't be heaven without the people I love. Mansions are not what I'm focused on. It wasn't the focus of Christ either. We were what He's focused on. He loves us. He wants to spend eternity with us. He's a mighty God. Hallelujah. He's a wonderful Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Isn't it incredible? In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Then He leaves the whole mansion thing alone. We just stay right on the mansion. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not true, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. In other words, it's us together. Hallelujah. That is heaven's most sublime blessing. It's seeing my daughter that's with the Lord. My little preemie daughter, praise God. With her black hair and brown eyes, Ashley. Lisa, I'm thinking of my granddaughter, Lisa Marie. Amen. I can't wait to see Lisa. I can't wait to see my great-grandmother. Great Christian lady. I cannot wait to see my Meemaw again. Amen. Seeing her young with clear eyes. Hallelujah. And a spring in her. I can't wait to see my wife's grandfather, who was my daddy's and grandfather's pastor in Kentucky. I can't wait to see Papa Hall with two arms praising God instead of one. Hallelujah. One was torn off in a car wreck. Amen. I can't wait to see him hug me with both his arms. Amen. When he was in his last days, he would take his one arm and put around me, and I'd lay my head on his chest, and we would pray together and talk about the Lord. I can't wait to see Papa with two arms and feel him embrace me in heaven. Hallelujah. Sin has been conquered. Death has been conquered. Hallelujah. This is just a call to give Him praise. Just lift your hands. Give Him praise for a moment. Just go ahead and praise Him. You know, if I don't finish the sermon, it's okay. But hallelujah, let's let God have His way in this room today. Let's just thank Him for what He's done. Thank Him that sin is conquered. Hallelujah. And death is conquered with it. Hallelujah. 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 The Bible says in Hebrews 10:16-23, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast. Here's the proclamation. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For He is faithful that promised. Faithful to do what? Honor the shed blood of Jesus in our behalf. Can you say amen? Accept the shed blood of Jesus in our behalf. He's faithful to do what He promised concerning the blood of Jesus so that we can draw near to Him. That's what we're proclaiming this morning. I am washed in the blood of the Lamb. I am made ready for heaven, the holiest place in the universe, to live with the holiest people in the universe because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We show His death till He comes. We proclaim it. We declare that through the blood of Jesus we can come into the very presence of the Most Holy God. We draw near. We are confident that God will honor the blood of Christ shed for us at the cross. We draw near, for we are accepted in the Beloved. No matter how deeply stained with sin, His blood cleanses every stain. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins were as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Red like crimson, they shall be like snow. Hallelujah. When God deals with sin, He deals with it thoroughly and completely. Everybody say thoroughly and completely. Got to hurry. Many years ago in Detroit, Michigan, the well-known evangelist Dr. Charles Finney preached on the text, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1:7. After the service, a stranger asked Dr. Finney to walk home with him. Advised against it by church officials who knew the man, Dr. Finney went with the man anyway. Ushering the preacher into the rear of a building, the stranger locked the door, put the key in his pocket, and said, "Don't be afraid, I'm not going to hurt you. I just want to ask you a few questions. Do you believe what you preach tonight?" Dr. Finney said, "I most certainly do." The man continued, "We're in the back of a saloon, Mr. Finney. I'm the sole proprietor. Mothers come in here and lay their babies on the counter and beg me not to sell liquor to their husbands. I turn a deaf ear to their cry. We see to it when a man leaves here, he's well under the influence. More than one night, a man leaving here has been killed by the express at the tracks. Dr. Finney, tell me, can God forgive a man like me?" Dr. Finney replied, "I have but one authority, the Word of God, which says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." "But that's not all," added the man. "In another room, we run a gambling hall. If a man doesn't spend all his money on liquor, we bring him back in here with marked cards and see to it that he's fleeced out of his last dollar. We send him home penniless to a hungry family." "Dr. Finney, I'm the sole owner. Tell me honestly, can God forgive a man with a heart like that?" Again, Dr. Finney replied, "I have but one authority, the Word of God, which says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin." The man spoke again, "That's not all. Across the street is my home where my wife and little daughter live with me. Neither one has heard a kind word from me for 5 years. Their bodies bear the marks of my brutal attacks. When I drink, I get mean." "Dr. Finney, you think God could forgive a man with a heart like that?" Dr. Finney's head lowered, his eyes filled with tears, and he said, "My friend, you're painted one of the darkest pictures I've ever gazed on, but I still have one authority which says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin." The man opened the door, ushered the preacher into the night, then never left that room until daybreak. Not before ripping up the decks of cards, pouring the contents of bottles down the sink, across the road, at home, he sat in his living room. His little girl called, "Daddy, Mother says breakfast is ready." When he answered his little girl kindly, she ran back to her mother and said, "Daddy spoke kind to me. something is the matter. The mother followed the little girl to the living room. The man beckoned them both, taking one on each knee and hugging him to himself. He explained to their amazement that they had a new husband and a new daddy. He ended with, "I'm done with that business across the street." The man later became member and then official in a leading Detroit church. When asked to tell that his life would change, he would reply, "On every occasion, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin." Preaching grace does not reinforce sinners to keep on sinning. Preaching grace is the only thing that will touch that hardened heart and break it down and make the difference. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! Say it with me. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. Hallelujah. Can God save a man like me? Yes, and He did. Can God save a woman like you? Yes, and He did. Is your past past? Yes, it's gone. He's cast our sins as far away from us as the east is from the west. That guilty conscience goes with it. We've been sprinkled from an evil conscience with the very blood of the new covenant. Hallelujah. Since sin is vanquished, Satan is conquered. Satan is conquered. Colossians 2, 13 through 15, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it," literally, in the cross. You know what that means? When a criminal was put on a cross, they took a tablet or piece of parchment and they listed the crimes for which he was being killed. You know what would have been on Jesus' tablet? And they nailed it to the cross with him. Every sin of every man, woman, boy, and girl would have been listed and put to his account. He's the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. He's paid the penalty. Can't be saved without receiving, amen, Him as your Savior. But He has paid the price for your salvation in full already, even if you don't know Him. Isn't that incredible? And so in a sense, when He was nailed to the cross, all of your sins and crimes against God and others were nailed to the cross with Him. Hallelujah. Nailing it to His cross. Everything that Satan had to use against us in the court of heaven has been nailed to His cross. Isn't that incredible? The cross, someone said, is a final and permanent end to Satan's ability to accuse us, easing, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. He set this aside, nailing it to His cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities. When Satan wants to dig up our sins and fling them at us, we can say unto him, "I'm afraid you'll have to go to the cross to find them. They've been nailed there by God." Hallelujah. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Crucified criminals had their crimes nailed above the cross so people could know why they died. On Christ's cross is a board with all the sins you and I have ever committed nailed to it. They were nailed to Christ's cross when He was nailed to it, and He took the punishment for them. He bore all the charges in one massive hit and rose from the dead. It was as if Jesus stood in court with literally millions of charges against His name and pleaded guilty to all the sins you and I committed out of love for us so that we could go free. Then the judge, God, said, "You will serve all these death sentences concurrently on the cross." Since the penalty for the crimes had been paid, Satan had no further basis for accusing believers before God. The charge sheets were nailed to the cross with penalty paid in full written on them. Satan was out of ammunition. Paul describes this as disarming the principalities and powers and triumphing over them. It was a victory indeed. Can you say amen? In Revelation chapter 12, there's a scene in heaven, and it says, now is the accuser of our brethren cast down that accused them before God day and night, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And the word of their, let the redeemed of the Lord do what? Say so. And the word of their testimony, and they love not their life because of this great grace, even unto the death. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because sin is defeated, Satan is defeated, death is defeated. Death is defeated. For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, Hebrews 2:14, he himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. That means the leverage is gone. I don't look forward to dying. I have never been a fan of pain or discomfort. Amen? Somebody said, do you want laughing gas? And I say, oh no. Put me under. Do you want Novocaine? Forget it. Just put me to sleep and wake me when it's over. Not a person in here will escape physical death if Jesus tarries. Only if he comes before you, your time is up. But you have escaped spiritual death forever if you trust Christ as your Savior and keep trusting him. It's incredible to know that out of the body is present with the Lord, that death has no claim on you, no hold on you. Paul put it best when he said, death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? Death is swallowed up in victory. Thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. Therefore, victory over what? Over death. If you've defeated death, that's the consequence of sin. It means sin has been abolished. Death has been conquered. Satan has no ammunition. So let the redeemed say so. Can you say amen? Absent from the body is present with the Lord. I don't look forward to dying, but being dead is a rush. Because you're not dead. He that believeth in me, Christ said, he'll never die. Never die. I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believes in me, he will never die. And to prove he had power over death, he walked to the grave of Lazarus, who had been dead 3 days and now stinketh, and said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. Hallelujah. Woo! When the communists rule Romania, a pastor there, this was on television yesterday morning, this true story, pastor there was greatly persecuted by communist leaders. An emissary was sent to threaten his life if he continued to preach Christ, and many had been killed. He knew they meant it. He said to the man who threatened him, your weapon is killing. My weapon is dying for my faith. If you kill me, every sermon I've ever preached will be sprinkled with my blood. I will become a martyr for my Savior. You will make me a martyr. So if you use your weapon against me, I'll be forced to use my weapon against you. And they decided maybe they better let the guy alone. Can you say amen? Because they figured more people may come to Christ by him giving his life for Jesus and his testimony than they would in all of his preaching. So I want you to know, if you've heard of a missionary that laid down their life on a mission field, it wasn't because Satan kept them from accomplishing their mission. It's because their mission had been accomplished. Can you say amen? Isn't it incredible? God is in control. This guy said, if I live, I live unto the Lord. If I die, I die unto the Lord. One way or the other, there's victory in Jesus. And you can't take it from me because death doesn't end it. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me close with this. And we went a little over time, but it's been worth it to me. When a large religious service was being conducted at the Golden Gate Exposition years ago in San Francisco, many people quickly became aware that the minister was delivering the main address, that was delivering the main address was not thoroughly orthodox. Really, he was just way off base. Although a gifted speaker, he began to direct most of his eloquence against the power of the blood of Jesus, to play that down. Ruthie Modson relates that when this fluent oratory ended, a timid elderly lady stood up in the midst of the crowd and softly began to sing a great hymn by William Cowper as a touching rebuttal to the modernist remarks. A hush fell over the assembly as they heard those faint but familiar words, "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains." Before she could begin the second stanza, approximately 100 people rose to join her in that chorus. By the